McGill is cutting ties with its undergraduate student society and looking to bar a protest on its campus after a student strike for Palestine last week. It's a move that student society executive Hugo Victor Solomon says threatens student democracy at McGill.
Our job is to represent students. We are representing students. If you don't like what they have to say, don't threaten the system itself.
It all started with an email sent Monday to the campus community. Deputy Provost of Student Life and Learning, Angela Campbell, said McGill was ending the Memorandum of Agreement with the Student Society at McGill, commonly known through its acronym SSMU or SMU. She cited a three-day strike for Palestine as the cause. The strike was approved in a referendum held by SMU with more than 4,000 students, or 70% of voters, in favor. It was the first student strike on campus in over 20 years.
I'm happy to announce that the motion has been approved.
The strike called on McGill's more than 25,000 undergrads to boycott class and put pressure on the university to cut academic and financial ties with Israel over its war in Gaza, just killed over 50,000 people, mostly women and children. Emails showed that behind the scenes, McGill administration was urging non-compliance from its faculty. Provost Christopher Manfredi told students the day before the strike they would not be entitled to accommodations for any coursework missed, overriding the discretion typically given to professors and TAs. But one of the pro-Palestine groups responsible for last year's encampment, known by its acronym SBHR, encouraged students to go beyond what was written in the strike motion, holding pickets and reporting professors who failed to cancel class. SBHR representative Zaina Karim told CKUT the McGill's silence on the war in Gaza pushed student activists to take a stronger stance.
I mean, I think like the restlessness that we feel from like a lot of students on campus is very expected when you see how many times the students have demanded in majority that they want divestment and that they don't want to be complicit through their tuition in a genocide.
Following last year's student encampment for Palestine, McGill's Board of Governors had committed to considering divestment from weapons companies. The committee studying the issue advised against it in February.
I mean, we're talking about companies like Lockheed Martin or Safran. These are like military weapon companies that just profiteer off death. So, you know, when McGill tries to paint this narrative of violent protesters or campus feeling unsafe, I find that really funny considering that they're the ones who allow weapons research to happen in labs in the engineering building.
It was in that same building that a protester smashed the window of Dean of Engineering Vivian Yalcoa's office last Thursday during a rally on day two of the strike. Campbell wrote that the protester used a fire extinguisher filled with red paint and that one staff member was hit by the paint. Solomon says a student was also taken to hospital after being injured by security. CQT was not present to verify those incidents. The following Monday, McGill administration struck back, with Campbell writing that the student union should have ruled the strike motion out of order, and that the strike, quote, divided a campus community already cleaved and hurting. Although the student society had called for a peaceful and voluntary strike, Campbell argued that SMU was ultimately responsible for the actions on campus.
Even though the SSMU put out these two statements, which were incredibly unambiguous in saying, we do not support actions which are violent or obstructionist or against the code of student conduct, the university is still finding us somehow responsible for the actions that were not associated with the mandated strike.
As vice president of external affairs, Solomon was SMU's point person for the strike. He said SMU did everything in its power to keep things peaceful, even sending staff to picket lines to act as mediators. For him, the university's move is less about the way students protested and more about what they were protesting.
I think it's interesting that this incident in particular is being highlighted as a way of undermining why people are protesting. You notice that the word Palestine does not appear a single time in this communication, nor any other communication by the interim deputy provost. And there's a reason for that.
This isn't the first time McGill has threatened cutting ties with SMU. In 2022 and 2023, McGill said they'd terminate the Memorandum of Agreement, or MOA, over pro-Palestine policies passed in student referenda. Then again, in 2024, they threatened termination over the club status of SPHR. The university justified the moves by saying the policies and the student club violated McGill's values of inclusion. In all three cases, the student society ultimately backed down. But Solomon says this time, SMU has learned its lesson.
In previous iterations of the MOA, what was called a default clause could be initiated, where if the administration believed that, for whatever reason, the SMU had violated, you know, even the preamble of its constitution, that it could put all of the SSMU's assets in a trust fund if the SSMU did not remedy the alleged default within a number of days. That is no longer the case.
SMU and McGill will enter into a mediation period of 6 weeks. If that fails, clubs lose their right to use the McGill name, and the tenants of the SMU building lose their right to rent. Other student services and the use of student funds will continue. But students looking to voice concern over the termination may have a hard time doing so. On Thursday, McGill's lawyers went in front of a judge to demand an injunction against further protests on campus. In their application, the university writes that as exams are about to begin, there is, quote, a continuous and ongoing need for the reasonable limits that McGill is presently requesting, which include prohibitions on disturbing the peace, intimidating, harassing, or threatening the campus community, blocking access to McGill buildings, or protesting within 5 meters of any building used for McGill. McGill sought and was given a similar injunction after a protest last October 7th ended in broken windows at a trio of university buildings. At the time, the university sought to extend the protest ban past 10 days, but was rejected by the courts. Solomon says that though the student society is facing multiple threats, it has no intention of backing down.
SMU will not be a scapegoat for the university as it continues its campaign to restrict free speech, not just for pro-Palestine supporters, but for anyone wishing to continue the campus legacy of being a space for protest.
A spokesperson for McGill refused to speak for this story. CKUT will follow this as it develops. With additional files from the CKUT News Collective, I'm Jules Bujal with the Local Journalism Initiative.